Rose writes, I hope that you can help me with this question. But first, I would like to say that I'm finding this program awesome, for it's helping me a lot, especially relaxing me in so many ways. Lately, I have been seeing a massage therapist due to pain in my back and chest caused by tense muscles. I have been having trouble falling asleep, but then I discovered this program. In addition to yoga, Epsom salt baths, and calming, relaxing music, the meditation techniques are helping me to fall asleep quickly almost every night. However, I still seem to be tossing and turning in my sleep at night, so I don't always feel refreshed in the morning. Do you have any suggestions? Yes, Rose, I do. Something that you can do when you use your techniques is to use the sleep control technique. The main thing about the sleep control technique is to do a 100-to-1 countdown. The 100-to-1 countdown is to be done in a very slow, paced, rhythmic manner with a low, slow, and deep voice. In other words, you're going to enter your alpha level using the 3-to-1 method. After having relaxed your body physically, and then relaxing your mind by thinking of tranquil and passive thoughts, then you're going to go through a countdown of 100-to-1. You're going to say to yourself, 100, deeper, 99, deeper, 98, deeper. Don't make the mistake of saying 100, 99, 98, 97, because that fast-paced voice and slightly high-pitched voice does not help you to go to sleep. The best voice to use is to use your sleepy voice, your tired and sleepy voice. That's the internal dialogue that you want to have with yourself. Now, another thing, count all the way to 1. If you happen to go 100-to-1 and you reach the count to 1, then do it again, a second 100-to-1. This is how you train yourself to enter sleep. Now, it may sound like a tedious process and boring, and yes, it is, and that's exactly what we want you to experience. The Silva Life System Home Study Course, or the Life Presentations, has the sleep control technique built into it. It explains it thoroughly and in detail. It actually uses imagery where you put yourself in front of a chalkboard, make a big circle, draw an X, erase it, then draw the number 100, and then erase it carefully and write the word deeper, and then write the number 99 and erase that and write the word deeper. And so it is a technique that is a little more tedious and boring, but that's exactly what you want for your mind and for your brain in order for you to slow down the brain frequencies in the direction of sleep. Now, if for whatever reason you wake up during the night, you might want to do what I do. I love waking up during the night because for me, that's my best time to program, to work on my projects and set goals and really work towards manifesting my goals. So I enter my alpha level 3-to-1 method, and I do a small countdown of 10-to-1. And then I use my imagery visualization to visualize my problems or present situation. And then I use imagination to imagine the outcomes that I desire. And I imagine things going very well for me and so on and so forth. This is the basic concept behind the mirror of the mind, also found in the Silva Life System. So again, one of the things that you can do is change the quality of the internal voice that you use that is probably keeping you awake at night. And the other thing to do is to simply use that time to work on your goals, on your problems or challenges or projects, and until you drift back into sleep. Diana writes, I have completed 9 CDs of the Silva Life System. I have not been able to wake up without an alarm clock at the time that I choose in my bedtime meditation, nor can I fully remember one of my dreams. I usually fall asleep before finishing my meditation and upon awakening. I fall back asleep during the morning meditation. I'm pretty sure my adrenals have been taxed and I have very low energy, which I'm working on with a Chinese doctor. Do you have any advice? And thanks for your help. Sure, I do, Diana. Now, when you're using the clock technique, that's going to be probably one of the last things you do at night. And if you have a tendency to go to sleep very easily, then I urge you to sit up on your bed. Don't get completely in a prone position, all comfy and ready to go to sleep, because your body, brain, and mind will do exactly that. Follow the pattern it has always followed in all these years and enter sleep. So instead, sit up on your bed, against your bedboard, enter your meditation, and then visualize the clock very clearly on your mental screen. And you raise your arm and hand, because you may be kinesthetic. Physically raise your arm and hand and move the hands of the clock around to the time that you want to awaken. And with a very affirming voice in your mind, say, "This is the time I want to awaken, and this is the time I am going to awaken." Now imagine yourself going to sleep and then awakening at exactly that time. You may imagine yourself going to sleep and imagine time moving to the next hour and the next hour and the next hour quickly, like in fast forward, until it gets the time that you want to awaken, at which point you will awaken without the alarm clock ringing. Now make sure you do not set a physical clock, because if you do, then you're setting yourself up for failure. You're telling yourself already, "I can't do it. So just in case, I better set my physical clock." You're not trusting yourself, Diana. So you must not set a physical clock. You must rely on your intelligence to awaken you. The other part of the question is that you don't recall your dreams. Now, again, you may not be recalling your dreams because you're setting a physical clock in the morning. And if you're doing that, then the longest dream cycle is the last one that you have in the morning when you wake up naturally. So if you are setting a physical clock, alarm clock, in fear that your mental clock won't awaken you, well, then you're interfering with the last dream cycle and you're not going to have the opportunity to recall those dreams. But if you really want to recall your dream, step one is to program yourself to remember a dream. So you go to your level and you program yourself to remember a dream. But you do not jump from step one to step two, which is recalling your dreams, before step one works for you. So if you're not following the instructions as explained in the technique, that may be the reason why the technique is not working for you. And you don't go to step three to have a dream that contains information to solve a problem before step two works for you. So again, follow the techniques as they are explained. First step one, one dream, then step two, recalling dreams, and then step three, which is that of having a dream that contains information to solve the problem that you have in mind. And don't use alarm clocks, okay? I hope this helps. Another person writes that they took the Silva Method training about 16 years ago in Seattle. One of the things that he never was able to answer was a question that I have asked other practitioners of many belief systems, including Silva and other systems. My question for you is this: if you're faithfully and correctly practicing what you are taught in Silva, what does it mean when the results are opposite of what your goals are? Well, what it could mean, I can't say for sure, not knowing your exact situation or what's going on in your life or knowing your personality and all that, but what it could mean, in my experience, is that a lot of times people are programming for something that's not the best thing for them. And the universe is telling you, this is not good for you. This is not what you need in your life. For example, there was a time that I was programming for someone to come into my life, a specific man in a relationship, and he was just going to be the worst person for me. But I felt I totally was in love with him, and I wanted him in my life. And the more I programmed for that, the worse our situation got, the worse our relationship got, and the farther apart we grew. And for me at that time was totally opposite of what I was programming for. Yet the universe knew better for me, because It would have been a terrible relationship. I know that for a fact already, after years have gone by and I look back. And the universe had something greater in mind for me than that person. By him not coming into my life, although it seemed like opposite of what I was programming for, I realized that there was something greater, bigger, more, and a more loving, supportive, and beautiful relationship that did come my way that I am totally enjoying right now. But at that time, as I kept programming, I felt like I was so in need of him, and I wanted that so badly in order for me to feel whole and complete. So I was, in essence, saying the only way for me to be happy, whole, and complete is if this happens. And the universe was telling me, no, the only way that you're going to be happy, whole, and complete is to work on you, to work on getting your health back in check, to take care of your finances and all of your different kinds of relationships, to make sure that you're happy and that you're the person that you love, admire, and respect. So until I took the time to work on me and correct all the other little issues in my life that I was avoiding, I was trying to bypass and have somebody else, you know, him, the boyfriend, the person I wanted into my life, do that part for me, until I took responsibility for my living experience, then all kinds of great things began to happen, and things that I started to program for actually were manifesting. But I was now in alignment with a higher good, with a higher cause, which is being whole and complete. So again, not knowing your exact situation, many times when something happens opposite to what you program for, you want to look at the feedback. Don't value it. Don't judge it as good or bad, opposite, negative. No, it's just information. The universe is giving you information that is telling you that something in the way that you're programming needs to be modified, whether it's your desire, your belief, your expectation, whether it's your attitude, whether it's going to be how you visualize or imagine, or whether it's just simply the feedback that you need to focus on to make minor adjustments. Because when you make those adjustments, then the programming results will also be different and better. And you will start to attract more and more of what you want into your living experience. Another question is of a person who's been with Centerpoint for a year now and was wondering if they could use both Silva and Centerpoint. Of course you can. Centerpoint and the work that Bill Harris does, who, by the way, I'm going to be seeing very soon, works beautifully side by side together. You can always extract what you like most about any and every system and put it together for creating your own method that works best for you. So most definitely, do take what you learn from different systems, get the best of the best, and get what works for you and make it work for you and change your life for the better. Another question from Patty is, what do you recommend as a good daily Silva routine for someone trying to organize her life and find herself? Sure, Patty, that's simple. All you need to do is make sure you have a routine of going into your alpha level at least twice a day. There's no excuse why you can't. You can always do it at night, and you can always do it in the morning, because you've got to go through alpha to get to deep sleep into delta, and you have to go through alpha to awaken into beta in the morning. So those are two great times for you to meditate. I would say that at night, you review your day and just make adjustments in your mind of areas that you would have liked to have either behaved differently or would have liked to brought in a different resource, maybe patience, courage, maybe it would have been tolerance, happiness, whatever. And as you review your day and you make those adjustments, then you imagine yourself being able to incorporate those resources and adjustments in days to come. The other thing you want to do at nighttime is to imagine tomorrow. And imagine special things that you're going to be running across, maybe meetings, appointments, whatever it might be. And imagine them flowing in a very positive way, in a very harmonious way to your liking. when you awaken in the morning, once again, go into your level and go over the day as you would like for it to flow. And this is a great way for you to have flow in your life and to manifest more of what you want in your everyday living experience and to organize your life in the way that you choose, because you're already picturing it flowing in the way that you wish for it to flow. I hope this helps. Another question has to do with the mirror of the mind. And the question basically is, let's say I have a few different things or occurrences I would like to manifest. After I've finished with one using the white mirror, can I go to the blue mirror for the next? And the answer is, yes, you can. And work on as many goals or projects or situations as you feel comfortable working on. I many times work on 2, 3, and 4 of them. So whatever feels right for you, that's what you can handle. So definitely, yes. Here's a couple of more questions. One of them is, your sleep meditations put me to sleep almost before you finish counting down to 1. How can I stay awake long enough to get through the tape so I can derive the benefits from them? Well, if it's a sleep meditation and you're already going to sleep, you don't need it. But if you want to use the meditations to learn other techniques and you find yourself drifting off into sleep, then I would say get into a position that is not too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable, because then you will tend to go to sleep. And that means don't do it while you're in bed. And if you are in bed, then do it while sitting up in your bed against the bed rest or the bedboard. So until you finish the exercise, then get yourself comfortable into bed, or just do it in a chair or some other place where you don't tend to go to sleep. The other question has to do with the three scenes technique. Now, the three scenes technique, the first scene, you visualize a problem. The second scene is the correction that you're going to take to get to the outcome. And the third scene is the outcome itself, enjoying the full benefits of having already achieved the outcome. Once you do that first meditation, from then on, you only focus on the second and third scene, not the first one. You never go back to the problem. The only time you ever go back to the problem is when you have measurable improvement that really marks a new beginning, so to speak, and then you can then visualize the first scene again, and then the correction scene, and then the outcome. And then after that, once again, focus on the correction and the outcome. The first scene is only used the very first time you work on a new project, or anytime you get measurable improvement towards the goal. I hope that helps.